And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis and chapter 8. And in our little exercise of these recent days, we looked at the mysteries of God, at least generally, and to get a sense of them. And what they do is give us, the mystery is actually that which God has made known that you never knew, and God has made it all known in the New Testament, so that we on planet Earth at this time, Israel was to know the law and the Lord, for all the nations to know. We ought to know what God is doing until he comes into the tribulation and the wrath of God. So our assignment is to reveal we ourselves. We're not about the mysteries. We are the mysteries. And not only are we custodian of the mystery, we are a mystery, and we are stewards of all of those mysteries. So we're to have a healthy, holy, and happy understanding of the day in which we live, keeping in mind, remember the epistles and Timothy and that we're back then. It was the last days. We have proceeded all of these years from way back 50 AD and all of that. So we are long into, down the corridor of time, into the last days. And that certainly is obvious in many ways. Now, having said that and keeping it in mind, so just to go through, before we go on, just to remind ourselves, if we might, that we might refresh ourselves of some of the understanding that we ought to have as we go forward. So we ought to have that in our head. What do we really understand? What did we learn? What do we need to learn as we are custodians of the truth? Now, so therefore, going back easily, Genesis chapter 3, you have to turn there, and chapter 4, well, you could, you're right next door. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5. Adam and Eve were tested, and they had the right to choose, and they chose negatively, and that's where evil begins. In other words, they chose negatively, and thus evil. You didn't have any evil. The devil was evil, but you didn't have any evil. You do now. They chose negatively, and the wages of sin is death. Now, having said that, and then you went to chapter 6 and verse 5, and in the Genesis, days of Noah, 120 years, and they did evil continually. That's what they did. Yet evil isn't going away. The Genesis flood comes along, verse 17. I'll have to turn there myself. Chapter 6, 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in earth shall die. So God, apart from Noah, scrapped it. Now, what do we know, though? Noah and his three sons have that old nature, and so God, trying to contain evil, but then the four men and the women, the four men and the women, are they going to go and bring evil into the next part of the world to come. So when we come to chapter 8, as you would know, and the Lord, chapter 8, verse 21, and the Lord smelt the sweet savor, and the Lord said, and Noah gets out of the ark a sacrifice, and the Lord smelt the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Why not? For the imagination, the thought process of man's heart is evil from his youth. They're born with it. They're born with it. And it's not going to go away. So therefore, to judge them all over again, nope, they're going to keep choosing, which they did. They chose negatively. That's why the evil isn't going away. So when you came to chapter 11, remember, as you would go, God said, if I don't scatter them with a tower and a city, they're going to do evil continually, and the evil will get it. Evil is terribly, terribly bad. And if you leave it alone, it gets more terrible. So you can't leave it alone. It's deadly. And it gets deadlier. You can't leave it. So therefore, God scattered them upon the face of the earth. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, or if I can, Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, which you know all these things anyway, but just reminding us what I need to be understanding in my mind as I go to work, school, whatever we do. So, and in Ephesians, picking up please, in chapter 2, this evil, the devil, and you know what I say, you don't have to go back there. You know, in Isaiah in chapter 5 and in verse 20, and God said, what did Israel do? How did Israel try to get along with the world and God at the same time, which you can't do? And what did they do? Well, they did. They called evil good and good evil, bitter sweet, sweet bitter, light dark, dark light, turn everything upside down. So we can live with it. We can live with what? Evil. Because we're calling good evil and evil good. So we can hang in there. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Ephesians, the devil is the god of this world. And therefore, he keeps it all, the evil. And you know from chapter 2, verse 2, I'll just read verse 2. Wherein in time past, 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that they're not believing, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, and the devil, we're part of the system. We're part of the world system. The world system is going down the corridor of time, and it isn't changing its course. It's going down. You know that. And now. And so, in the world system, it is godless. I didn't say without religion, and I didn't say without gods, little g. It is godless. The world system, you won't hear it. You'll never hear it. But where they're bowing down and worshiping the Lord God Almighty, you won't hear that. You won't hear it. You won't hear it in the news. Anyway, you hear a lot of religion, a lot about many things, Jesus, but you won't hear that. The world system is godless. Godless. That's what you want to know. So that's Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. God saves us out of the world system in his most wonderful, wonderful way, so that we can go forward in a good way to honor God. Now, having said that, over to 2 Thessalonians. And we share together so that we know 2 Thessalonians, as we're moving down the corridor of time in the process. And if I can, in chapter, 2 Thessalonians, I should say, in chapter 2. And you'll remember we looked at the mystery of iniquity. Iniquity is the word lawlessness. Two words, no law. Lawlessness. No law. No law. No law. And we looked at that. Now, the devil isn't going to honor God's law, which makes for righteousness. The devil isn't going to do that. The system isn't going to do that. It's not going to do it. But that's where it's moving. It's moving down the corridor from Genesis way back. It keeps moving and where it's going. So, and we share together in chapter 2 and verse 7, the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness is busy, 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 busy. But so that every day, all of it's busy out there, Ephesians chapter 2, lawlessness out there, godlessness, God's wonderful movement, God's wonderful movement that allows for God to save whosoever and to bring about his judgment. So therefore, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or restrains, will be restraining, until he, the Spirit of God, be taken out of the way. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to restrain, to hold down, to hold back the movement, always moving, always trying to go. No matter how you do it, it never changes like Iran. It never changes. It's set. No matter how it goes, it has to go. There's only one way. In other words, if you're going to go over to China or Russia and tell them to change communism, what's the percentage of that happening? What's the percentages of happening to tell Islam to change? They die before. Why? And that's why they live, to keep what they're doing. And therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, and the Spirit of God hinders that movement. So we are the custodians of, we ought to be knowing how it's going to go. We ought to be knowing what's happening. So, in the middle of all that we shared, God's Holy Spirit restraining evil, restraining it, holding it back, so that God can finish what? He's going to go and be gracious and save whosoever would believe. And before he lets the tribulation loose, he's going to go and keep it nice and steady. The world system's doing what it's doing. The system hasn't changed. Politics, religion, it's the same, going down. But God's waiting that he gives space and that whosoever might be saved in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and having that in mind, I'll look over if I can, keeping that, the Spirit of God's holding it down. And you know, if you're still in chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you slide down to verse 8, the God's holding back the lawlessness, the godlessness. He's holding it back and holding it because it wants to go forward. Where is it going? Where is this thing going? It's going to bring about the position of the ruler of this world, the devil himself, is going to be one. Revelation 13, the Antichrist, is all headed in one direction for one reason, that the devil might fulfill his purpose to show the world, to show everybody that God, you're a loser. Look how the people I've got. And thus, it's a folly for him to do so, because he knows it's not going to win. But now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to 2 Timothy. And what we just are knowing, so we aren't shocked about anything, and we ought to understand it. And therefore, 2 Timothy in chapter 3, you'll remember, there's the form godliness, which we looked at, God, the wonderful relationship we have to God, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and God is going to go and give us the unique privilege of practicing your relationship to God, to practice, to exercise your personal relationship with God. Godliness, wholehearted devotion, wholehearted commitment for God, for the heart to enjoy being saved. Now, so therefore, in verse chapter 3 and verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power whereof from such turn away. It has no power. It has no life. It has no reality. Sliding over, what else goes with that same end of as the days are darkening? Chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Now you say, well, I'm not persecuted. Now, so, when you are living godly and God is right up front in your heart and it shows you're trusting him and you don't even mix any words. You know him as your Savior. He's the living and only God. And if you don't believe in him, you're going to die in your sins. If I don't show God in you, why would I be persecuted? I'm persecuted because I'm letting God be my God. Otherwise, where would you go? Just think of it. Whatever group you want to go on, television, radio, any churches, whatever, and go in and let God make it clear that if you don't, using John 8, if you don't believe in me, you are dead in your sins. Now, who's going to love that? You have no righteousness. You need to believe. Now, that's a straight outright thing. How many people want to hear that? No one wants to hear that. So as long as you don't do B, but all right. So when it says godly, that's because we're living it that way. Now, and so when we do that, we need to understand verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's just not going to get any better. It's going to get darker and darker. And getting, when I say darker, you can hold the finger here a minute if you like and go over to Jeremiah. And in chapter 13, I think, where we were a while back. And here we are looking, chapter 13. And remember what God said as Israel kept refusing to fix things. They didn't want to be godly. They wanted lawlessness. That is, they wanted to do it without God. And so therefore, as they left God out, and it kept being left out, God warns them what's happening. So therefore, chapter 13, verse 15. Hear and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross, thick darkness. You're going the wrong way in the tunnel. You need to go where the entrance is, not to get deeper into it. And the more you get deeper into it, the darker it gets and the harder it is to get out of there. That's what God said. That's where the world is. And we're custodians. I understand that. I do. And we're supposed to understand that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Matthew and in chapter 24, as you would know. And we shared together in chapter 24, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 20, Matthew 24, 20. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. This is during the tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, never shall be. It's only going to happen once, the great tribulation, once. And it will be an experience that the world has never gone through. The darkness is going to get dark and very dark. And God waits. We're custodians of the mysteries. We know it's going to happen. And so God helps us. Now, point, as we were reading that, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor shall ever be, except those days should be shortened. The Spirit of God said, if I don't shorten them, there should no flesh be saved. There'd be no one. There'd be no one at all. Noah wouldn't even make it. Noah wouldn't even make it if I don't shorten them. It's going to be that bad. That bad. Now, and therefore, again, verse 22, except those days shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And God in his wonderful grace is going to go and shorten those days. God is going to make it 7 years, as you know. And so, now having said that, here we are going down the corridor of time. Go over with me to Revelation and chapter 1. Remember, now it's going to get darker. Things aren't going to get better. And all of that's pretty much coming to the forefront. And if I can, Revelation and in chapter 1. I'm picking up, if I may, in chapter 1. May I go directly, chapter 1 and in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 20. It's direct for time's sake. Chapter 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars Remember the seven churches representing church history. The mystery, that which you wouldn't have known, of the seven stars, the messengers, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, lampstands, candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, messengers of the seven churches, and the seven golden lampstands, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Now, you'll notice in there, gold. It's his church. He's bearing witness to who he is, his churches, Ephesus, etc. Now, how does it go, God, when you do this? How is it going? They're gold. But it doesn't take you hardly a breath. What happened to the gold? Church history. What happened to God? What happened to the New Testament church? We haven't even crossed 100 AD, and it's in trouble. Wow. What happened to the gold? So we got a whole church history, but the gold is gone. The gold is gone. And they go, but follow church history, Reformation, all of that. It isn't a glorious, it isn't the Acts chapter 2 for 400 years. It's the Acts chapter 2 for 400 days. What do we got? Now chapter 2, church in Ephesus. And the church in Ephesus, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left the first love. You have lost your loving relationship that you need to have. You're doing it dutifully. You're doing it committedly. But you lost the relationship. You're going to have the relationship. Got to have that. Now, and remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. This isn't good. And you can't, if you don't fix this, it's going to go downhill. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy lampstand. You're supposed to be my lampstand, and I'll stop it. You won't be my lampstand anymore. Let me finish it. I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So God said, wait, it's way back. If you don't fix it, and they didn't, because it kept getting deeper and deeper, 300 AD and all of that stuff with the Roman Catholicism and everything. Just get deep Reformation, all of that. Got it. To where we are today. Where we are today. So God, here we are looking to you. And in the process, chapter 3, the end of the church age, which is where we are. And that's represented by the church in Laodicea. And you would remember chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I can't do much with you. Can't do much. You just say, it doesn't matter to me, which it does. It doesn't matter to me, hot or cold. God said, what am I going to do with you? What am I going to do? So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, vomit you out. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. That doesn't look very good to me, those words. And wretched is a lousy, wow, wretched in the minds. I don't want to be that. God said, you're wretched. And sliding down, that's when you're going to come to behold, I stand at the door and knock, verse 20. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come out into him and he with me and God. So what are we seeing? The church age is going down way back here. And if you didn't fix it, and they didn't, it's where we are today. Not a big deal. And people are happy with whatever churches do. Doesn't matter. And now, hang on. So therefore, if we can, picking up, please, in the light of that, over to John chapter 15. Well, John chapter 15. And in the process, and taking time to do it, but remind yourself so you see it. They that are godly are going to suffer persecution. And here in John 15, as you know, 15 verse 18, 19, if the world hate me, hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And verse 18, 19. And you have the Job at verse chapter 17, you'll see it again. It isn't a love affair with the world. Love not the world. Verse 13, and now come I to thee. These things I speak in verse chapter 17, verse 13. In the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled themselves. I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them, because you have my word. And no one wants to hear that straightway from the book, because we're supposed to go by what God has said. We don't go what I think he said. You go by what he did say. What did he say? Well, I think he said. Well, you may be right, you may be wrong. You may be. But you need to understand, God's going to go by what he said, what he meant. Here's the English language, and here's the scriptures in the original languages, and here's the English, which is very good, and here's all the different Bibles and all the different Bibles. King James is of a standard, and it's safe, and there's others that are helpful, too, but King James is sort of a standard, and we have it. If for English, and what are we going to do, God? What do I know when I read and you read? We're reading what it says. And we keep just reading what it says. And God wrote that down. He had and they copied and wrote. And then we have a copy. We're reading it. John chapter 17. Now, in the Spirit of God and in the presence of God, he knows just what he said. And he knows just what he means. And that's what you trust. That's what you trust. You don't trust, why, maybe. But when you're done, you're going to trust God to do what he said. That's what you do. So you want what? Well, someone else can come along and say, well, that doesn't really mean that word. See, you can do that. No. You want to trust God. Be trusting him. And here's all the stuff, and we have all of this knowledge that God gives us from his word, which is awesome and wonderful, wonderful. When we're all done, we put the Bible out in front of us and before God, and God has to make this work. God has to make this work. And that's what you're trusting. If you start trusting what you read all in the wrong way, then you get all tight. And then you have to doubt whether you're trusting or not. Things aren't working out good. So am I trusting enough? Am I trusting hard enough? Am I doing it enough? You see? Am I doing it enough? God, see, it isn't whether you do it enough. It isn't whether you do it enough. God just said it. And that's what he does. That's what he does. In a most wonderful, wonderful way. And you trust him. And you don't let it get into you. Well, how do I know he said that? I heard on the radio this religious program. And I heard this thing. And I heard that thing. And I read this thing. You may. But always go back to what it says. And then trust God, who knows exactly what he said, to make it work. so that you aren't trusting what you understand. You're trusting what you understand, but you're putting what you understand at the foot of the cross and letting God work it out. And then you're staying what? With God. Otherwise, you get all tied up in here trying to do whatever. And dear ministers and the rest of them get all caught up in this different thing. Well, I think it means this, and I think it means that, you see. And you lose the relationship. You lost it in the process. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God has to go and help us in every way to look to God in a most wonderful way and to honor his wonderful working in a most wonderful way. And back over. Revelation, back over to Revelation, please. I didn't mean to go that fast. And all I'm trying to do is, we did a little bit on mysteries. And since you ought to know mysteries, and you ought to understand, since you're a custodian, male or female, young or old, you're a custodian if you're a believer of those truths. Now, how much do you know them? How much do you understand? So that the day you're living in isn't throwing you. So we aren't waiting for Iran to get fixed. We know it's, something's going to happen in some wonderful way and to change many things, and they all will change. But John, it isn't getting better. It's not getting better. It's going to get better. Oil will be cheaper, you know, and your gasoline will be cheaper. It's better. It is better. But it isn't better. It isn't better. Because the thing's going the wrong way. It's moving. And the devil's letting it go on. And the devil's doing what he's doing. And God is allowing it. And God will only allow that which he has to be. So here we are, over, if we can, in Revelation. If we can, chapter 3. And you'll remember. And we did it the other day. Just, here's the church going down the corridor of time. Here's the church in Sardis. Verse 2, Revelation 3, 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. In other words, if we keep living another 10 years, how much of this Bible is going to be out there? Think of years ago in the 40s. When everyone would read, and they were looking for the Lord's coming, really, generally, there's a mood across the country, in a good way. Not everyone, but it's a good mood, and it was strong. Do you have that today? You don't have that. And if we wait 10 more years, you won't even find, what you find today will be missing tomorrow. You won't find it. You might remember it. But the people coming up don't know anything. They aren't going to know. It's just going to be disappeared, down, less and less. So therefore, strengthen the things which remain. And then he says, they're going to die. Because then you're going to go to Sardis, to Laodicea. It's all going to go down. It isn't going to, boy, hang on to what you've got and hang on to it. So you don't lose it. And thus, chapter 3, picking up, please, church in Philadelphia, as you know. Verse 8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. You aren't strong. You just got a little. And you're going to have to do the best you can. As I let things go down, I know you only have a little strength. I know you're not Samson. I'm not going to make you Samson. I'm not going to make you the Apostle Paul. No, I'm just going to let it go. But don't be worried about it. You're trusting God in his most wonderful way. And no man, verse 8, and open door, no man can shut it. but thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word. That's what he said, I've been trying to tell you. Keep the word, that's what you know. And that's why we're reviewing just simple things that we did so that we know them. How are we going to keep the word if we don't remember anything? And we don't know anything. So there's nothing to remember. Nothing. So we want to have it. God help us. So therefore, and thou hast not denied my name, and that's why we're sitting here, to try and honor God's wonderful name in God's wonderful way. And now, God, you're going to go and do what you do in the way that you do it. And you make us new creatures in Christ Jesus in a most wonderful way. And you do what you do, what you do. And what we are now is a unique creature on planet Earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And you would recall, you remember, if you would. And in the process, 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, and you will note, if I can, now you know, we mention it every now and then, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You are my witnesses. Verse 32, give none offense, don't be a stumbling block, neither the Jews nor the Gentiles. And now, for the first time, Jews and Gentiles all through history until now, and the Church of God, which never existed. It never existed. His church, golden candlesticks. His church, it never existed till now. That's awesome. Yeah. So God, and we're unique. We're new creatures. We're sort of. What are you? See? You don't belong to them, whatever church or this group or that group. No, I'm a believer. I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we assemble together because we belong to the same body and have the same life. And that's why we do it. Why? Because we're evidencing to the world around us that is in darkness. We're children of light in the darkness as we get down the corridor of time. And therefore, we are going to do what? To show forth, as we shared, the mystery of godliness. We're going to show forth that I and you and us, we have a very personal relationship to God in a very, very personal way. And we are to exercise it. And that is what God underlines. And that's what we're going to do Sunday if the Lord tarries. God underlines. You have to understand the whole business is to, for God said, for me to have little old us, but God to have us for his honor and glory. That's what he saved us for. That's what he saved us for. That's how faith is perfected. Perfected. What's perfected? You're getting saved. When you're saved, I see, why did I die? To save you, to save us. That's why I died. And you show it because you're saved. And I want you to know that's the evidence that I'm who I am, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, in a most awesome way. So therefore, God's going to go by what he said. God's going to work what he's doing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process of that, not having gotten very far, but I think you're beginning to see it a little bit afresh, I hope, to see we're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, God, because of God being in our head and being in our heart. And so therefore, as we look to God as being new creatures in Christ Jesus, and God is going to show this mystery to the world, we're able to show the world that God has a real reason that he created us and died on the cross for us. And we're evidencing that wonderful, wonderful relationship as a mystery. God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. How can it really be? It really is. God said it really is. It really is. And if we could go back and visit with Adam and Eve before they sinned, and I can't even explain, I couldn't explain it very good. If we went to visit with Adam and Eve before they sinned, do you know what a unique relationship they had to God? We can't even imagine it. We can't even imagine what they had. We just can't imagine it. No. And do you know what? They had something wonderful, but you have something more wonderful because you're able to know him as a saved sinner. You're able to know him and honor him. And that is awesome. And that, let me show you, because you say, I didn't get, what do you mean we're more special? Because all the world, John the Baptist, stop hit with him, and then go into the tribulation, start with the tribulation. The 144,000, start away. In between, that's us guys. And God is doing what? He's going and what? Taking and doing. I'm going to show my wonderful grace, Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, and I'm going to save you and make you part of my wonderful body so that you're seated where I am in heavenly places to demonstrate forever, said all the time, to demonstrate forever my grace, my grace. And so that's our assignment. We're a mystery. That's right. An awesome mystery. And God, you're going to have to go and do. And so, God, you said what you said. You mean what you say. And God is going to do what he does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And probably helping us a little bit. Over to Philippians. And keeping in mind. So, Philippians. Hopefully it helps. Philippians, if I can, you know it, we say it, we read it, we believe it. Philippians chapter 2, picking up if I may, and you know, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, which he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then you slide over, as you would know, to chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because God has begun a good work. And by the way, verse 13, why are we going to keep working at this and trying to understand it better and better? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God's business to help us to learn. Matthew 11, you have to turn to Matthew 11 and 29. Get your learning from me. And the word learning, bring into your experience your understanding of who I am. That's who can. Bring into your experience, learn of me. Bring into your experience, literally, bring into your experience who I am. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you do it. That's what you do. And we're stewards. And that's what we've been doing. That's why we did it. To remind ourselves. You'll say, well, what's my reason of living? Because you are a mystery. And mysteries, you don't have to go to Ripley's, believe it or not, for the mysteries. You don't have to go there. You are a mystery. And you are a mystery if you can't do very much, or you can do a lot, but you're a mystery to the world around you. And anyway, I hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful thing that where we are.